This is Financial Armor with Brad Cooper from Cooper Financial Investments. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Brad provides his clients and prospects the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful strategies to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now here is Financial Armor with Brad Cooper.
Welcome to Financial Armor Show. My name is Brad Cooper, the president of Cooper Financial Investments. And today we have a very special guest. But before that, I want to welcome my co-host, Tony Shore. Tony, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, Brad. Great to be here. I'm excited about the show. I've had a great week. I have two daughters. It was their birthday. Both of them had birthdays 2 days apart this past weekend. So got together with family, celebrated that. How about you, Brad?
A wonderful weekend. Actually, my oldest daughter had her bridal shower at her house. So we had about 40 women come over to the house for the weekend. I wasn't there for the majority of the time, but we did survive, which was a great experience for my daughter.
That's awesome. Well, I cannot believe today's show. I'm so excited. This is a huge get for the Financial Armor Show, right? Who is our special guest? Introduce this great guest we have
today. I am so excited. Today's special guest is Mike Binger. Mike Binger is the president of Gradient Investments, and I've known Mike for several years now. You've probably most likely seen Mike on Fox Business, CNBC, Bloomberg. In my opinion, in the 30 years of my experience in this industry, Mike's one of the best money managers on Wall Street, and we have been working with this group for over a decade now. And when Mike agreed to be on the show today, I know for a fact our listeners are going to be in for a treat, especially today while the crazy world we live in and all the turmoil going on in the market. So, yeah. Mike, welcome.
Well, thank you, Brad. I mean, that was a very, very gracious introduction. I appreciate that. I hope you didn't overstate me there a little
Not
bit.
Not at all. Understated it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So what would you like to talk about today, Brad?
Well, you know, in current times, a lot's going on, and several things I want to ask you, Mike. You know, often we may hear on TV, read, you know, about soft landing versus recession. As I sit down with our clients and new people in meetings, and we do speaking engagements, a lot of our clients and people are scared, and they believe that we're in a recession, we're going into a recession. So what could you add to maybe give a little bit more information to our listeners about that?
Yeah, that's the big dilemma in the markets right now, Brad. So let's define what a recession is and what a soft landing is. Right. And all of this is in reaction to, you know, inflation has gone up dramatically. It peaked at 9%, but now it's getting better and it's come down to roughly a little bit below 4%. So that's good. But to get that inflation down, the Federal Reserve had to raise interest rates, and they raised them, you know, very high, and they did it rather quickly. So they took it from essentially zero to right around 5% in less than a year, which is really unprecedented in history. Higher interest rates isn't such a bad thing for, you know, folks who have already accumulated their wealth and are trying to save their money in retirement. What that means is that they can now get a better return on their investments without taking such, you know, as much risk in the stock market as they had for the past 10 or 12 years. What everyone's concerned about right now, and the market is a little bit concerned about it, is, you know, when inflation goes up, you have to raise interest rates by the Federal Reserve does that to combat inflation. They did raise interest rates. Inflation went down. But the big dilemma out there and the question really is, if you raise interest rates too much and you leave them that high for too long, will you drive the economy into a recession?
Right.
Or can you drive it into what they call a soft landing, which is where the economy slows dramatically, but does not go into a recession? That's the thing. I tend to fall more in the soft landing camp than the hard recession camp.
No, very well put. And you've been talking about interest rates. Mm-hmm. And I know when we look at interest rates, whether it's the return on our money, or whether it's what we're paying for a home loan. Where do you see interest rates going in the next 6 to 12 months? A lot of what we're hearing is hopefully by mid-year of 2024, we may see rates decrease. But in your opinion, what are you seeing right now?
Yeah, I'm not a big believer that interest rates are going to fall back down anytime in the near-term future.
Okay.
And what I'm seeing out there is I'm seeing that rates have risen. Inflation has come down, but inflation isn't down exactly to where the Federal Reserve wants it. I mean, healthy inflation is around 2 to 2.5%. And when I say healthy inflation, it kind of confuses people a little bit, because they say, well, wouldn't it be better if we were in deflation? And the answer is no. Deflation is not good. I mean, think about it. What's the biggest asset for a lot of us out there? It's our homes, right?
Right.
Things like that. Imagine in a deflationary environment where 1 year your home is worth $500,000, the next year it's worth $450,000. You don't want deflation and things like that. You don't want prices declining, but you don't want them going up too fast. You want that nice Goldilocks inflation where it's not too hot, not too cold, and that's around 2-2.5%. So I think that last maybe 1.5% down is going to be a little stickier than most people think. We're not going to get there quickly. And I think it's going to take at least 6 months. So my opinion is I think interest rates are going to stay at these levels. I don't think they're going to raise them anymore. I think the Fed has done its job and has done it pretty well. But I think it's going to be sticky right here for at least probably the next 6 to 12 months.
Okay. You know, I get a lot of questions, Mike, from our clients and who are thinking about maybe selling, relocating, buying a house. And right now, inventory nationwide, what you're seeing is, you know, very hard to come about, because a lot of us, including myself, I'm locked in at 2.8% fixed for 30 years. So how much impact, because a lot of my clients remember 07, 08, and 09. And do we have a high chance of going through a similar situation again with the housing crisis?
I don't think we do.
Good.
But what I really feel about housing is that housing is going to be paralyzed a little bit for now. Okay. And what I mean by that is a lot of new homes are spurred by people selling existing homes. And so just like you said, Brad, a lot of people are locked into these 2.75%, 3% interest rates. And now when they want to upgrade, you know, they're doing better in life. Their incomes have gone up. They say, okay, let's sell our first home and buy a second home. Now they're faced with the prospect of, well, wait a minute, if I sell my home that I have a 3% mortgage in, now I got to pay a 7% mortgage.
Right.
So really, I may be in the situation where my monthly payment is going up and I'm not getting any more house for the market. I may actually be getting a little less.
Right.
And so I think for a while that's going to paralyze the home building and the sales environment in homes, which that's part of the reason I think the economy has slowed down a lot, is because of what's going on there.
Yeah, I've had the privilege, a few weeks ago, of spending time with you and our other money managers, your team, and also analysts from Goldman Sachs and other companies. Mm-hmm. And they gave us a forecast, which was very optimistic over the next 5 to 7 years. However, that was before the Middle East crisis, Israel.
Yes.
So what type of impact, Mike, do you see, if any, with the crisis going on in the Middle East? And if that continues to escalate, what, in your opinion, will happen to the markets here in the U.S.?
Yeah, so a couple things. We've been going through the Russia-Ukraine thing for, I think we're going on the second year now. And now we're layering on top of that the Israel-Hamas war that's going on. The humanitarian impact is what's very unfortunate and very sad. But one of the things that we often see is that international conflict and wars tend to stimulate the economy a little bit. And the market is just like a robot, really. You know, it just looks at how things are doing. And so in the past, periods of war have actually led to economic activity picking up and the market doing better in turn there. So the market tends to look past these a little bit. So that's why you're not really seeing, you don't see the market taking dramatic hits when these international conflicts pop up.
Well, great. You know, another topic which I'm hearing on a daily basis, which is interesting. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and I just want you to maybe take a couple minutes and elaborate a little bit more. There's not a day that goes by in at least one meeting or more. Artificial intelligence and digital or cryptocurrency. So give our listeners some feedback here. You don't have to go in that deep because it's all fairly new, but that could be the future.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's start out with digital currency, cryptocurrency, okay? And cryptocurrency is really just another form of digital currency.
Right.
When you think about it, you know, think about when was the last time that you or Tony or myself has gone into a store and actually opened our wallet and pulled out cash and paid for things, right? I mean, we're paying with credit cards or debit cards or those kind of things. I mean, most people don't even send in checks anymore for their monthly bills. It's all taken care of electronically.
We pay digitally. With our phones.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly.
So, I mean, in reality, this paper currency to digital currency has been ongoing for quite a while. This is just another form of digital payments. Right. I mean, think about, you know, I mean, I don't use a lot, but my kids use Venmo constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'll Venmo that to you or that kind of thing, you know, or you don't pay taxi cabs with $20 bills anymore. It's just Uber, right? So that transition's been going on for a long time, and I think cryptocurrency is there. So don't dismiss cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, whatever ones. I mean, I don't really know which currency. I mean, there's literally like 20,000 different cryptocurrencies, with Bitcoin and Ethereum being two of the larger ones. And I don't know which one is really going to be the winner, but I would, in my opinion, I think their usage is going to expand over time.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about AI. That seems to be the latest scare right now.
AI.
You know, oh my God, AI is going to take over the world and eliminate our jobs. I don't believe that. They used to say that about the internet. You know, the internet would take. I mean, it will force some changes, just like the internet does. I mean, think about it. The internet. I mean, when was the last time you called a travel agent to book a trip or a flight, right?
That's right.
Or, you know, now you're getting things from Amazon over the internet versus going to stores all the time, that kind of thing. So things will change and shift, but I think AI will be a complement to what, you know, to what most of our productivity is, those kind of things. It's not going to steal our jobs and our livelihoods away from us.
No, I agree. And it's always interesting, and the knowledge, you know, we get from these discussions, because it's new, and anything new, it really creates fear with a lot of people from the unknown.
Yeah. And, and one thing, Brad, at Gradient Investments, I mean, we see all this as an opportunity, and we actually have what we call a digital discovery portfolio, where we're investing in companies that are moving forward with digital currency and blockchain and artificial intelligence and those kind of things. So it's a volatile portfolio, but it's interesting. I think it'll be successful over time.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wanted to throw in the Beatles just released what is supposedly the last Beatles song, if you hadn't heard, and they used AI because they had this cassette with John doing a demo on a really old beaten up cassette from before he passed. He was working on a song and they couldn't get it. The vocals, they couldn't extract the vocals. They wanted to put this out years ago. And Paul and Ringo, they wanted to get together and do this, but it just wasn't, it didn't sound good enough. And somebody approached them and said, hey, we have this AI program that can clean this up. It can take George's guitar part that he had recorded to put on this, but they didn't end up using it because there was so much noise in the background of John's vocals. Well, the AI cleaned it up, put it up, filled in gaps, and they released the song. It's called Now and Then. And so they used AI to do that.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
It's exciting, but just amazing.
A little scary, too, though.
Very scary.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, Mike, you know, a discussion I'm having now, going back to interest rates are going up. Mm-hmm. The market's been volatile, you know, often on this year, more so in 2022. So what advice would you give to our listeners that are thinking, wow, I'm just going to flee to safety and get that 3%, 4%, 5%, you know, CD that's out there versus hanging in there over the next several years and not missing out on future opportunity?
Yeah. You know, the game has changed a little bit, Brad. I mean, for a long time, retirees couldn't earn a decent return in a safe manner on their investments. That's changed now. I mean, now people can, in a relatively safe manner, can get 5, maybe 6. Is stretching a little bit, but let's just roughly say 5%, which actually fits a lot of financial plans going forward out there. But what I'd like to say is, if people want to, you know, shift some of their household allocations into something that gives them 5%, you can do that in the stock market and in the bond markets, and you can remain liquid. You don't have to lock your money up for 3, 5, 10 years. Right. You can do it today and have liquid funds that you can sell tomorrow if opportunity presents itself somewhere else. So I would have no argument against reallocating a little bit, but do it in a manner where you can remain liquid and you can buy and sell your investments if the environment changes. If, let's say, the stock market goes down and there's an opportunity to get in, you want to be able to grab that opportunity.
No, excellent. And one thing I want to add, Mike, which we've talked about before, but I want to restate this again. I've been in this industry for over 30 years, probably a little bit less than you. And
you're dating me, Brad.
And as a registered investment advisory firm, we have the choice and options to work with really any money manager and money management team on Wall Street. And the reason why I personally work with you and your great team at Gradient Investments is I look at you as more of a team of fiduciaries like we are, but also you take risk very serious. You understand our clients. Our average client ranges from 50 to 75 years of age. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to take a lot of risk in Bitcoin and some of these other high-risk stocks when you're young, because you have the time to recoup. But
correct.
One thing I respect because of the way you look at overall risk, and you just said it very well. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you for that. And
yeah, I mean, when you think about it, Brad, I mean, risk and return means something completely different if you're 25 versus if you're 65. And you need to be a little more careful when you're 65 because you don't have that. I mean, it's easy for investment people to sit back and say, like, oh, things work themselves out over the next 20 years. But if you're 65, I mean, that's not a certainty for
that's
you, right?
So
you need to think in, you know, relatively shorter time frames, in my opinion, which means adjusting and offsetting your risk and return profiles.
And that's the communication I have from you and your team on a daily basis, which, to be honest, I never had that ability in my entire career until about 10 years ago, where now I can pick up the phone and call you or any of the other professional money managers and get their advice. And not only that is, if you're listening out there and you want to personally set up a call with one of our money managers and pick their brains, you have the ability to do that. So I want to change directions and really lead into...
Can I just comment
yes,
on that
please
real
do.
Quick? You know, I came from a big institution in my past life, and I've been now at Gradient Investments in the past 12 years. Right. And when I came here, one of the big reasons I came here was because we actually have we have interaction with our advisors and their clients. And to me, that access makes a big difference. I mean, if you are listening out there, let me just challenge you a little bit. Let me say, try calling the 1-800 number at a big bank or a big brokerage house and ask for the portfolio manager that you'd like to talk to them about the market or something.
Say, I want to talk to the senior portfolio manager.
Yeah. If you call Brad and you have some issues or concerns, Brad, number one, Brad talks to the portfolio management team probably at least on a weekly basis.
Right.
And he knows that if he himself or he has clients and they have some issues or concerns, it's just a phone call away from someone who can give answers.
I know. And that is just so valuable, not only for our firm, but more so for our clients and just empowering them with wisdom and knowledge directly from Wall Street. So let's spend a couple minutes and talk about the million-dollar question I get daily, probably 100 times a day is, Brad, what's going to happen in the future? Where do you see the forecast of our economy, the stock market, the next 12 to 24 months?
Yeah. So, well, great question. I'm glad you're putting my feet to the fire here a little bit, Brad.
And this is recorded too,
yes,
by the way.
Yes. So here's what I think. So we've had a bit of a recovery this year after a relatively tough year in 2022, after an outstanding year in 2021. Right. So we're still trying to inch our way back towards the old highs in the stock market this year. I feel that task is going to be hard to get to the old highs this mm-hmm. year, but I feel in 2024 we're going to get those. The reason I say that is because, you know, I look at three things. I look at, you know, how's the economy doing? Mm-hmm. How is the are the profits and losses of the companies that we invest in? How are they doing? And then is valuation high or low on the stock market? So let's say, so in the economy, you know, our economy is still growing. And recently in the past couple quarters, it's actually accelerated. And that's because everyone is still working. We have record low unemployment, and the people that are working, their wage growth year over year is really offsetting inflation to the point where now inflation is lower than what wages are growing. So I think that's creating this dynamic where consumers have more money, they're all working, and we know one thing, that in America, if we have more money and we're working, we're going to spend it, and that's right. driving the economy. So I see the economy mm-hmm. being okay as we head into 2024, and we hit this soft landing, not hard recession. Secondly, corporate profits this year in 2023 has been relatively flat year over year, and that's why the market is just kind of meandering right now. But the market knows that. The market knows that inflation was high. The market knows that corporate profits are kind of stagnant this year. The market and the direction the market moves is based upon what it thinks it'll be doing next year, 12 months from now. Right. Where are we going to be 12 months from now? And I see corporate profit and resiliency looking pretty strong next year. And then finally, the best way to measure the stock market's valuation is this thing called price to earnings multiples. Yep. And right now, that P-to-E ratio on the broad stock market is just a little bit below its 10-year average. So okay. I think the economy is doing okay. I think the companies that we invest in are going to be doing pretty darn well next year. And stocks aren't overly expensive. So you put those three together, that's a pretty good stew for the markets reaching a new high in 2024.
That's really great news. And I often, whether I'm speaking or in a meeting individually with a couple, I usually always talk about, let's hope for the best, but plan for the worst just in case. Mm-hmm. But that's going to lead into, which I am so excited about, what you and your team has developed, several portfolios called the buffered portfolios mm-hmm. that offer downside protection mm-hmm. if the market decides to go down, but also if the market continues to go up, which we're hoping mm-hmm. and seeing, you'll get those returns. So can you talk a little bit about the unique portfolios that I'm talking a lot about? And personally, that's where I have my money.
Yeah,
as well.
I would love to talk about those portfolios because number one, they're very exciting. And number two, they are completely resonating with our folks who yes. are, you know, on the edge. I mean, they, you know, people know that they need to be in the stock market for, frankly, the best long returns over time.
Yeah.
But like we said, not everyone has the same time horizon. So if you can get into the stock market and earn a return, and our annualized returns are 12, 13, 14%, right. and if you can get in with the potential for those kind of returns and have anywhere from 15 to 20% downside protection, where you are protected if the market goes down to, you know,
right.
up until those points. I mean, that's the best of both worlds.
It is.
And we have two portfolios in that area. One is called the buffered index portfolio, mm-hmm. and one is actually called our dual directional portfolio, where you can actually make money in a down market. Mm. And I would encourage anyone to get more details, to call Brad on these. And because really, folks, I mean, this is truly a portfolio where you get downside protection and you get, you know, the trade-off for that downside protection is that you are capped on the upside.
Right.
But you're capped at annualized returns of 12 and 13%. I mean, if you can get 12 and 13% in the market, that's a win.
Absolutely.
And if I can get downside protection, that's a win also. So it's a good scenario. It's an environment where we're actually getting those terms right now. So please seek them out.
Wow. In the 30 years I've been in this industry, I never thought I'd be recommending nor have my own money invested in this portfolio. So,
yeah.
you know, so thank you, Mike, for taking the time to share with us on those portfolios. And, you know, if you want more information on these portfolios or any other of our financial planning needs that you may have, if you just want to sit down for a cup of coffee the first visit, you can call our office for a free visit. The number is 520-543-8345.
Well, great show, gentlemen. This has been a fantastic conversation about the markets, and it's great to have somebody who is so knowledgeable in this field. Mike Binger, thank you for joining us again. Brad, that's a huge get for your show,
yes.
And I know that you work closely with Mike and his team to help your clients and the people that you meet with, and you can use that to help our listeners as well. So listeners, again, I want to encourage you to pick up the phone, give Brad and his team a call at 520-543-8345. And we're out of time for today's show. I wish we had more time to talk about this.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me, you guys. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate it. Have a good week, okay?
And that does it for today's episode of the Financial Armor Show.
Thank you for listening to Financial Armor. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound retirement plan. For more information, please contact Brad Cooper at Cooper Financial Investments. Call 520-543-8343 or visit them online at cooperfinancial.com.
Advisory services offered through Cooper Financial Investments, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Arizona. Insurance products and services offered through Cooper Financial Group, LLC, an affiliated company. All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.